Blog Talk Radio. Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Zion of Israel. This is a big day for us. I see the brother is here from Ghana. We want to get Brother Doniel on the line. Brother Doniel, are you here? You are. Please push one. We're going to get him right on. Brother Doniel, how are you today?
I'm good. I was trying to talk, and I was on mute, too. So I got to figure out, you know, I got to get off of mute. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that the brother's back online, man. You know, and it's an exciting time we're in, man. I'm just excited over this stuff, man, and I don't get excited.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk. I got one person that pushed one, and then we're going to bring him right on. Area code 757, how are you today? Your mic is open.
Shalom. I just wanted to say I'm excited. I just want to hear more facts. So we can make a sound decision and just have all the facts, you know, before us.
That is correct.
Absolutely. Okay, well, this is what I'm going to do in fairness for everybody. I'm going to mute everybody's phone except the speaker. And we're going to give him an opportunity to talk, and then I'm going to ask questions if anybody has any questions. And then you guys can push one. So let me do that right now because I don't want anybody to interrupt me. I want him to be able to talk. Let me open it up. Brother Yehoshua, shalom, shalom. How are you this wonderful day? Your mic is open. The floor.
First of all, shalom, everybody, and I bring you greetings from Ghana, the center of the world, the gateway of Africa, and I just thank everybody for being here and affording me the opportunity to be here and share our experience, our journey, and what life is like here, and hopefully it will be an encouragement, a source of excitement, and just a source for a new horizon and new opportunity for those that are desiring for something different. I first want to say this because oftentimes, especially on this journey, we tend to make things a lot deeper than it is. Our choice to come here wasn't primarily based upon something deep spiritual intuition or some looking for some prophetic sign. We wanted peace. We wanted a change in life. We wanted to be away from negativity every day, whether it be on the news, on television, on the radio, the talk shows. There's always, seeing shootings of our people, debt, bills, stress, injustices. We wanted a fresh start, and we wanted to be in a land where we were the majority. So we made the move, and the move just happened to be lined up with what we believe is in fact prophetic. We first looked at our lives and said, we want better for ourselves. So oftentimes you get the question, you know, when people say, well, where is this in the Bible? But if we decide to move from the west, the East Coast where we're from, to the West Coast, why aren't we looking for some kind of prophetic unction for that? If we wanted to move from the U.S. to England, why aren't we looking for something prophetic and profound with that? But for some odd reason, when it comes to the motherland, we're looking for some external signs and wonders instead of what you want or what you feel is best for your existence. This evening, we had a showing via our NGO and partnering with a brother that has a lounge here. A nice adult place. And when I say adult place, I don't mean nothing perverted, but just adult place where you can have some nice food. You can listen to spoken word on one night, live reggae, jazz. I think I said spoken word, or, you know, you just want to have a nice spot. But it's a Ghanaian brother who used to live in Australia, who encountered massive racism. But they're part of an organization that we are affiliated with. It's called BADA, which you can become a member of. Even in the States, it's called the Bureau of African Diasporan Affairs. What it does is unite other Africans of the diaspora together under one umbrella. That way we could actuate our power, our collective power and energies to get what needs to be done, particularly under the umbrella of the African Union, which has already authorized or sanctioned us, all 54 nations in Africa, as being part of the sixth region, speaking of us of the diaspora. So it was a sister there that just repatriated here from Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. And she, before Memphis, Tennessee, she lived in Tampa, Florida. She was a retired lieutenant of the police force and was telling us about the levels of racism continuously, even to the point that she was not hiding behind the blue shield of silence. She was exposing racism in the department. She was blackballed, as they're using that term loosely. Her life was even threatened by her own colleagues, black and white. And she was saying this with all her convictions, that she knows without a shadow of a doubt, even within the police departments, that they are setting up for a race war, because it's already been documented, even in news. Don't believe me, verify it. But white people are dying off faster than they are reproducing. So they're in desperation mode. That's why they're pushing Quiet is Kept for interracial marriage, so they can put their wicked seed within our melanated bodies. So eventually, they think they're going to reverse the trend of the blackening of America. Nevertheless, she was saying that it's inevitable that a race war is down the pike. I don't know what other signs of people are looking for, aside from the sign of what you want for your life. We wanted, like I said, we wanted peace. We wanted to be rejuvenated. We wanted tranquility. It's a wonderful thing looking out every day, and the majority of the people look like you. And you're greeted from the smallest child to the oldest adult. Good morning, in the afternoon, good evening, good day. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, whatever. Every day. And people looking at you and just giving you just respect because you're here. And when they find out that you're here and you're not here just visiting, but you're here to contribute, is even more so. They're even shocked, like, why would you want to come here? They're shocked at that. You left America to come here? They're mesmerized by that. Now, granted, there's also a faction that don't know anything about us. Sometimes some people refer to us, and it has nothing to do with complexion. They refer to us as white because of the way we sound. Because there are still people here, they're not familiar with the transatlantic slave trade because of the colonialism, the effects of colonialism, is particularly through their education system. They were educated under the British, and the British system is purely racist, no different than what we experience, where we have very little African history that is taught to us, unless you teach yourself and your children, but it's very little here, to the point that many here in power are advocating for homeschooling so that their children can have an African-based education. But very little is known about us. That's a fact. Just like when they come to the U.S., they are told by government officials not to deal with us, which breeds into that idea of Africans from the continent not liking us, because we're not aware. Many of us aren't aware that they're taught this, and because they're not citizens and because they are foreigners, they don't want to lose their ability to stay for extended periods of time in America. So they stay away from us because that fear, that distrust is put inside of them. But nevertheless, for the most part, it's been a wonderful experience. It's certain challenges that you have that we're used to, that you have to get used to. It's summertime every year here, and I actually love it. My wife loves it. Summertime, and we don't have to deal with winter clothes. Don't have to deal with the cold, the sleet, the snow, the freezing rain. And I love it. By the way, folk, especially y'all fair-skinned folk like myself, you are bronze all year round. We love that. That melanin really glows and shines. Your nails and your hair grow. You do have to get used to some dietary changes, because, which is not always the best, because they have a high starch diet. However, fresh fruit all year round. And then, like I said, some of the healthiest fruit that will cost you an arm and a leg from a store like Whole Foods, grows right here. You know, we got miniature bananas that have seed in it that grow right in our yard. One day we were out of our yard, we was fresh ginger growing in our yard that we picked and used. Turmeric grows right here in your yards. Moringa grows in your yards like wildflowers. Dandelion that you use for tea to detox with grows in your yard. Neem, where you get your neem oil that battles a lot of sickness, grows everywhere here. You can just grab it off a tree, boil the leaves, and make it as an antibiotic, so to speak, and flush out whether it be any kind of sickness. But all that stuff grows here. But, you know, like I said before, Ghana's not perfect by no means. There's a lot of issues here. Like the school systems are, especially the government schools, are something to be definitely need to be overhauled. There's a system with sanitation. They need to work on that, and I know they're working on it. A lot of roads with potholes. You ain't seen no potholes till you come here. But those are things that are being worked on. But a lot of the challenges that I see and we see and others from the diaspora see are problems that we can fix because many of us have those skills. Many of us have that expertise to come here and fix those things. If you come here, if you decide to come here, you come here with an open mind. You come here with a mindset that says, I'm a part of the solution to the continent. You will have a very lovely life. Your life will be rejuvenated. They're from the people that have come here and repatriated. You have former CEOs in America, teachers, lawyers, doctors, engineers, retirees of all walks of life from America that have come here and started new lives. Some of them have gone into the particular fields that they used to be in, and others have started new ventures, particularly if that's not what they wanted to do or purpose to do prior to when they were living in the States. They're coming here fulfilling their purpose. There's one sister that lives in Kumasi, the Ashanti region. She was an art dealer. She has what would be a mansion, a multi-million dollar home in Kumasi. And she and her friends, they use their resources together to empower schools. And it's nothing but joy and respect she gets. She gets treated like a queen, just using her resources. There's another sister, a retired teacher from Detroit. She's been here 17 years. She opens up, bought brand new computers, has a computer lab, and has guest houses. So there's plenty of those type of opportunities here. Businesses to start, if you like cosmetics, industry, like as far as taking food byproducts like tomatoes, they call them tomatoes here. Fruit, turning those into byproducts like juices, tomato paste, pizza sauce, tomato sauce, salsa. If you have ideas like that, you could become a multi-millionaire. Taking rental properties and turning them into guest houses or short-term leases is something that you can do. Which leads me or segues right into the part of ours leasing. When people decide to come here, you can lease a place or get a guest house or Airbnb. Leases typically are houses are typically leased to you 2 years. You have to pay 2 years in advance, which is actually against the law because it's not supposed to be over 6 years, but it's very rarely enforced. But Parliament is trying to make sure it's reduced down to 6 months. But there's a benefit of that. If you find a place, you pay the 2 years in advance, you don't have rent for 2 years. Everything here is on cash basis, even your electricity bill. You don't get a bill. You get prepaid. You get a card. You go put money on the card, and you go swipe it on your meter outside your house. And most of us get a text letting you know how much credit you have left to go re-up. Most electric bills are comparable to 100 to 150 CDs a month, which is about, let me get you that exact exchange. Hold on 1 second. 150 CDs is about $31 a month for electricity. Some people, what we have in our home, we live in a four-bedroom home with a garage, and it has we have fans, ceiling fans all over. We don't need electricity. So you burn very little electricity. We have what they call DSTV. We have satellite TV. So we can see stuff like BET and TNT and stuff like that. We also still have access to Netflix. We have Amazon Prime. So we can watch whatever movies. They have shopping malls here. We were just at the movies this past week, and it's all night school with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. We were able to see Black Panther here. You know, all kinds of stuff. You still, you know, shopping malls and traditional shops, all kinds of restaurants. So you could have that experience. You can go up into the mountains for resorts. You can go to the beach. They have beach resorts that are comparable to anything you would see in Jamaica, the Bahamas, St. Lucia, St. Thomas, places like that. They also have private islands here. And they have the bush where traditional houses, people still living in mud houses. They have safaris in the northern region where you can go see hippopotamus, elephants, monkey sanctuaries where people feed the monkeys. The monkeys come and run up to you. In waterfalls, and keep in mind, Ghana is a country, and we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg as far as seeing the country. We're going to be starting next month because we have a wonderful guy. I want you all on Facebook to look him up. His name is Francis, Francis Awuni, Awuni. His company is called Awuni Tours. He's by far one of the best tour consultants you could ever hire once you get here. He's actually number 4 on TripAdvisor. He's a dear friend of ours. He's like a little brother. And he takes our people places that he will never take a white person to because of the historical connection we have with Ghana and the West and West Africa. But you will see stuff firsthand, how they make shea butter. And by the way, there is an edible shea butter that you can eat, cook with, and drink as a coffee that has tremendous healing elements. It's right here. He could take you to the salt mines and to the and where they have where they make chocolate with the cocoa here. All that stuff, like I said, here. Tailor-made, custom-made clothing where you can get a wardrobe for couple hundred dollars, custom made clothes. All you do is show them a picture on Pinterest or something like that, and you're on, you have a brand new wardrobe. So we did, we gave away all of our old clothes and had brand new clothes and still getting them made because the fabrics are outrageously beautiful. So you can have, we know people, you can buy fabric, is the fabric is at, I mean, you won't even believe the cost if I told you. But life here, we find that it's just a beautiful experience. And like, again, I will not say that Ghana is perfect by no means. It has its issues. Just like black people everywhere, we do a lot of complaining, but when it's time to step up the plate to bring about change, where a lot of us are missing in action. But what we do see is the fact that we are the missing link to Mama Africa, and they are the missing link to us. The white man has done his job in separating us because he understands clearly, more than we even imagine he does, the power we have if we come back together. And again, if we're looking for some kind of spiritual sign from heaven to drive by and tell you, it's not, it just doesn't work like that. It's in you. If you're sick and tired of the oppression, the negativity, the stress, at least consider it. At least come see. Taste and see that it's good for yourself before you want to pack up and go to Paris, France, where they don't give a damn about black people. Consider coming home. And I will encourage everybody to do this because people have very big skepticisms, and it's understandable about DNA testing. But we went through the test through African ancestry because we're waiting for our results because a brother wants to make work on an emailer, but we said, no, we want to open it up. And we want to go through the experience of seeing it firsthand. And we're doing the matriarch line. And why is that important? Because typically when you do the father's line, the patriarch line, it was interrupted by some white man. Most of us have some white man that raped some woman. But the mother's line, for the most part, 99% of the time, is going to be African. That being said, to know these things, because at AfricanAncestry.com, to know this is important because it's an African, so-called African-American company that specifically and only deals with Africans. They did samples of about 35,000 samples in the U.S. to bring about those, I mean, in Africa. primarily where our ancestors came from, were taken from via the transatlantic slave trade, and not just connect you and say, hey, you're 35% this, you're 35% that. They don't not only give you the country, but the tribe and the ethnic group, which is amazing, and we can't wait to get that because that's another chapter in our being, us being restored as a people. But I don't want to seem like I'm going all over the place, but it's just so much family. And every day is a new experience for us because it's something greater to learn. We feel like school children because we're constantly asking questions as they're asking questions to us, those that are indigenous here, and it's so much to learn. And let me tell you a little story about me. When, before I came here, I was legally diagnosed as being 75% disabled by the Workers' Comp Commission and disability because of my leg injury. And I walked with a cane. But since I've been here, I have not used a cane. Part of it because of climate, and a huge part of it because of the stress is gone. The stress is gone. People say, well, what about my bills, my student loans? Guess what I did, folks? Guess what we did? Guess what 99% of us did? We left that back there. Would a collection credit council or credit company is going to call you here? Please. That's part of my reparations that they don't want to give me. That's just the real goodness truth. I don't care about that stuff because life is new here. People say, well, what about my retirement? Well, it goes into my U.S. bank account, and I go get it out here. We got bank accounts here, and then take the money and transfer it here because the money's right now is 4.8 to 1. So $100 turns into let me give you an example of what 100 U.S. dollars is. 100 U.S. dollars is equivalent to 479 or 480 Ghana CDs, which is huge. And that goes right into the bank. They have investment accounts here called treasury bills that yield 90 days and 6 months and 1 year, yielding between 13 to 20% interest. Listen to what I'm saying. And look at a treasury bill at your local bank in the States. But here between 13, every bank, 13 to 20% interest. Amazing. The banking system is extremely strong here. But the way the system is, particularly in the U.S. government, they make it very difficult to send money out and do business. So we have to just be strategic. Like PayPal is not here. If you get a PayPal account in the States, keep it because you could use it here and also partner with other people to do it. But again, opportunities are limitless. If your mind is open, it's so much you could do here. It's so much. I'll give you a quick tip. Many of you know about like frozen ices, Italian ices, Ritas, or on the East Coast, they call them snowballs or snow cones, depending on if you're from New York. Fresh fruit grows here every day, but those things don't exist. They don't have that here. We had some Ghanaian young men exposed to American-style barbecue chicken for the first time. They went berserk. We had them exposed to American, black American-style macaroni and cheese and au gratin potatoes. They went berserk. And for the vegans out there, there's plenty of vegan restaurants here too, from the ice cream vegan to, I'm telling you, local foods and vegan. So they have all those things. But like I was saying, if you came with an idea that may be just a hobby or an extra income there, it could be huge here. Huge. So all I'm saying is if you have an open mind, and you're tired of the crap in America, the sky's the limit for you. But it first starts with the mind saying, listen, I at least want to come and see it. I want to taste it. And what better time would it be better than 2019? 400 years since our captivity. 2019, which the Ghana government has launched, the year of return, 2019, to Africans of the diaspora via the transatlantic slave trade to come home. And what they're using is Genesis 15 chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, as the basis of this launch of us returning home. Now, is that not a sign for those who want to just primarily base their decisions on spiritual? But why not use all of it? The Almighty gave us spirits. We're spirit, soul, and body. What is your soul saying? What is your mind saying? What do you want for your children? What do you want for your children's children to grow up? Who, nobody wants to deal with the fact of having our child to be another Trayvon Martin or Tamir Rice. Nobody wants our husband, brother, father to be an Eric Gardner. Nobody wants our sister, our mother, our daughter to be a Sandra Bland. But that's every day. We don't have that here. But together with our power, we can make this thing right for all of us. We are the messianic generation. We are the light of the world. Excuse me. The light of the world. Let's bring some of that home and let's work together to make this continent Eden again. Again, my website, our website that we designed for those that are considering repatriation is consolidated information and even an FAQ. It's called returning2eden.com. Returning2eden.com. Okay? And just check us out. Now I'll relinquish the mic and open up the floor for any questions anybody might have. And again, if I was jumping, I apologize ahead of time. It's been a long day, but I made a commitment to be here for you all because it's important that in our hearts that we help make the journey for us to come home because we see the impact and the timing is just so right. Toda Rabba, thank you very much. And as they say in tree here, the language here, Madasipa. Madasipa is tree, the language here for thank you very much.
All right, all right. Well, thank you so much for that. I have a couple of questions before I open up the floor to everyone because a lot of questions have came to me through other people after our show on Sunday. And my biggest thing is for Ghana, what are they receiving as a perk for allowing us to come back to the country? Is the United States of America going to give them anything for us coming back to the land? Is there something that's been negotiated for them? You know, because that was a question that was posed to me.
Nothing at all. Not even a penny. Not even a penny. What Ghana benefits is us deciding individually to come back and bring in our skills. What we are doing as an organization, we see the added value that we bring because it's been estimated it's about 7,000 of us that are here from the diaspora between America, North America, and Jamaica, North America including Canada. And they said it's estimated that we're bringing over $200 million a year into the economy, and we're not even all citizens. Whether it be from banks, buying food, vending, transportation, et cetera, renting, buying land. So that's huge. But the U.S. government gets nothing, no kind of incentive, no kind of partnership whatsoever.
So, okay, my next question then would be, is there, has any of the corporations coached the president of Ghana to come over and try to spend business with them?
We're in the States?
Yeah, from the States.
It's a brother named Diallo Sumbri. He's a good friend of ours. He's out of Washington, D.C. He has a group called the Adinkra Group. Look up his website, the Adinkra Group. He helped inspire an initiative, this right to a year of return celebration all year. He invited with Ghana Tourism Authority and the Ministry of Tourism for the president to come back to announce this countrywide of this celebration of us coming. Other than that, no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do know Michael Gibson, the new CEO of Ebony, is partnering with this year of return because they were here. They're supposed to be doing a huge spread next month on Ghana in the year of return. But other than that, no other corporations.
Hmm. Okay. I guess my next question would be, let me see, how do I pose this question? The people that are coming over now, because I agree with what you're saying, you know, not necessarily that it's a prophetic journey, but if you want to leave where you are and live in another country, you know, and change your mm-hmm. lifestyle, because it's just, from what I hear, it's a totally different lifestyle, totally different,
mm-hmm.
you know, than what we live here, and it would take some adjusting to be able to do this, you know, so there's a lot of people that are considering doing it, but like they said, they work every day, and the means for them to provide their standard of living comes from their check that they get from their companies that they work for. It sounds like it's very mm-hmm. appealing to that person who is well-established and has maybe retired or they're on a fixed income of some kind. You can do it that way. But what about the working person?
I believe it's almost a split between those that were working and those that retired, because the new people that are coming over are in their, I would say, their late 20s to their mid 40s. Some of them in their 50s, and mm-hmm. they're still in the working age. What they are coming mm-hmm. with is a plan, and I would tell anybody, everybody, have a plan. At least have a plan. And start building relationships while you're on that side, because like I said, there are different groups here that have support groups here that you can connect with somebody and build something. But if you have a plan, it can work, because not everybody has huge retirement. Even some people, they get a little marginal, right. You know. Not everybody made mm-hmm. big bucks, you know. So what people mm-hmm. are doing here is starting businesses, and something that would be mediocre in the States would have you living good. I'll give you a quick example. It was a brother said he only makes around he gets about $800 a month from Social Security. That's huge. You can live pretty decent mm-hmm. here. But save up as much as you can and just have a plan and research. That's why we put together our site. Listen to the testimonies on the videos that we put there, because mm-hmm. maybe some of you all have a vision or a business that's been dormant because you've been inundated with everyday life, checking in 9 to 5 and just trying to scratch and survive. Just check it out, research and see what the climate is and what the needs are. And come with a plan again, and you can make it happen. But like I said, a lot of the people in this, and let me tell you this, because I'm proud of this, to say this. Most of the people that are coming here now are a lot of single black women. And some of them are mothers bringing their children, leaving jobs and coming here. There have been several people that have come to visit and said they weren't going back. And just taking their business and their ideas on the road. There's a few people that work where they can work from home, and they're able to work still their job from here. So explore all your options before, you know, sometimes we have a way of talking ourselves out. But see, especially if you have a telejob. But the basic thing I would say is have a plan, particularly if you want to be self-employed. Because the opportunity, especially if you want to do a nonprofit, it's easy to get a nonprofit going here. Especially if you have some resources to help you finance it. My God, you could do some things, especially with children.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know or not, but, well, I'm sure you do, that President Obama, before he went out of office, mm-hmm. Set a mm-hmm. law into motion. And that was the 400-year law for the African-American people. Now, it didn't
right.
get signed until after he left, and President Trump
right.
had signed that bill.
H.R. something,
that
right.
law, mm-hmm. H.R. 1242. Mm-hmm. Now, this
exactly.
particular law talks about how long we've been here for 400 years. Now, the mm-hmm. reason why I bring that up is because Genesis 15:13 is very specific in order that it goes in. It says that we will complete the 400 years, we will watch the judgment of the nation, and then we will come out with great substance. A lot of people that are on this line are holding to that. They're going to say, I'm waiting on Yah. But the thing is this is the question that came to me the other day. And I'm not trying to be a pessimistic or anything, but I want your feedback on this. Somebody said, well, what happens if we go over there and it's good now, and then the regime changes? There's a new president, like Joseph, and they don't take too kindly to us. What situation would we find ourselves in?
Well, we just experienced that in the U.S., right?
Right.
We had a biracial man in the president. Now we got an orange man in the presidency that don't remember a damn thing that the African man did. So, I mean, if anything, the way the climate of the culture, because what we do have that we don't really have in the States, we have the African Union backing us. We also have the United Nations backing us because we're here in Africa. The African Union is a powerful entity that was agreed upon by every African nation, regardless of the African leader. And the way the country is moving, each president, you know, these guys are ego-centered. They want to top what the other one did. Because the former president that's running again in 2020, he was the vice president, but the president died while he was in office. But the former president, who's running in 2020, he signed a bill that granted citizenship for Africans of the diaspora called the Right to Return. Okay? So each president wants to top what the previous one does because of ego. You don't want your predecessor to top you. So this is a big deal of us returning. And being that Ghana was the first nation to do it, they want to continue leading the way of repatriation because Ethiopia is doing it. I believe the Gambia is doing it now as far as offering citizenship for us via from the diaspora via the transatlantic slave trade. But to more specific about that question, none of us have any fear of regime changing and not knowing because the mindset now is more towards progression and knowing exactly who we are, and is more beneficial to make the country attractive because the mindset of us here is that if Ghana does not want to open the doors for us, bringing all the skills that we have, the education that we have, the financial resources we have, the resourcefulness we have, the wherewithal we have, another country would open the doors wide open for us. That's why we, part of our collective agreement as these organizations that are banding together, is we have added value to Ghana, not just $200 million, but all of our skills. We are the African-Americans, so-called African-Americans that are here are doing things, bringing added value to the country. And it's not going unnoticed. So it would behoove them to continue in that vein to make the process easier. When the president was just in D.C., he's reinstituting a law that was been dormant for a long time. And we have a meeting with his office in Diaspora Affairs probably within the next week to make the doors for citizenship open. Let me tell you something else. There's a youth summit going on this coming Saturday with Ghanaian youth. When I say youth, I'm talking about in their 20s and mid-30s. They are advocating to making the laws change in Ghana for us having citizenship because they see the value of us coming home. They see it, the youth, because the youth said, we're going to be heard. We want our brothers and sisters from America via the transatlantic slave to have access to citizenship and have full access to the rights of a Ghanaian citizen because they understand the historical part of us being taken away from here. They are saying this. So Ghana is the youngest nation in the world as far as the age of its citizens. 75% of Ghana's population is under 35. Unheard of. So as far as regime change, no, it's only going to get better.
Okay, now what is your website again? Because I tried to pull it up and I couldn't. What is it called?
Returning to the number 2, Eden.
Oh, the number 2, okay.
Like, yeah,
gotcha.
.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Those are good questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them that came that way. And the last one, and then I'm going to open up the floor for everyone else, was what happens if we go over there and we start really bringing industry and it starts to booming, and then the African people get jealous, you know, and then we have a rift between us and them.
Well, the biggest thing is that, you know, there is a faction of older people. They don't want a Liberia experience, what happened to Liberians. It's all in us. If we're coming there, just like with us personally, when we come in the neighborhood, we go into the mall, we have people giving us high fives and greeting us because you're showing respect and kindness to a people that are already respectful and kind. So when they see that you're contributing and you're not coming high and mighty and bougetto or whatever, they know that you're contributing. They see that, hey, bro, we're coming here to work with you. You are our family. When they know that, it's not a problem at all because, for the most part, they're going to be a key component to us getting into the territory anyway. They see the Chinese coming here doing things and disrespecting them, but our people coming from the diaspora, we're not coming here disrespecting them. We're not disrespecting the culture. We're not on the streets begging. So they see that there's a bond here and a mutual respect. So it's totally different. So if they see us coming here bringing added value, just like, for example, when we took 540 children back in March to go see the Black Panther movie, it's almost like we just did that last week because people still remember us. And because they're so appreciative of the little things you did. This past Tuesday, my wife and a couple other ladies, they took bags to a maternity ward in a hospital to expecting mothers of stuff they don't typically have. The warmth and the love that they received and thankfulness was priceless, and they're doing it again Thursday. So when they see that you're contributing, and you're not looking at them as a charity case, but you see them as your brother and sister, and you're sharing your wealth with them, it's the appreciation is something that you have to experience to see how it really touches you. So they are, matter of fact, the chiefs in the certain regions, we're told that if you're talking about bringing industry, they will give you land. Because they know that the industry is going to provide jobs for the people in their communities. It's going to bring better schooling, better quality of life. So they're giving it. The chief where we bought land, he said, listen, tell your brothers and sisters to come home. You know what he said? And I thought he was joking. But he said it twice. He said when the white man came here, they took the smartest, the biggest, the strongest. They took them over there. That's why y'all build America, the greatest power right now on earth. He said, we want y'all to come back home. Tell them all to come back home. He said, the prettiest women are there. He said this. And, you know, Ghanaian men love their women. Well, one black man doesn't. Straight one, that is. But that's another story. But anyway, this is what they're saying. They want it here. So when, just like when the brother from Ebony said he was bringing investors here and investing, all of a sudden, acres, hundreds of acres is being opened up. Because they know what we did, and they're watching us from afar. They're educated. They know what we did in America, and we're still getting disrespected. So what they don't understand is why in the world would we they're open arms for us here. Why aren't we at least considering it? That's it.
Well, I don't think that it's people that's not considering it. I think that what it is the unknown, and it seems like it's a very wealthy place, but it's a very underdeveloped place with not a lot of participation from the major countries in the United Nations to really build it up. They have taken more from it than they've actually put in it to build it where it needs to be. And I think that is the hesitation from a lot of people. They're saying, okay, we're already citizens here. But I'm just talking from the people standpoint. We already have a life here. You know, we know what the enemy is like here. Do we sell everything and go over there to live over there with people that are our people that we know, that look like us, but we're, and even if we get citizenship, Will, what's going to happen to the place over there? Will it ever really flourish to like it should be, or will it just remain the same? So that is the hesitation of a lot of people. And the fact that they're using Genesis 15, 13 through 15, it doesn't match up with that. But, I mean, you know, it sounds good. But, you know, I look at it like this. I've lived in another country before. I know what it's like to live in another country. And I was telling one of my sisters yesterday, you know, that people do it all the time in the military. They get out of the military and they stay in Japan. They live in Japan. You know, they stay in the Caribbean. They live in Hawaii. So it's really you wanting to make a change and move somewhere else. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do.
Right.
That's all I expect.
I look at it from we were watching Hidden Colors 2. Today at the viewing. And at the end, KRS-One said something that I thought, I heard it before, saw it before, but it really resonated with me this time. He said, imagine being kidnapped and raped every day for 10 years. And then the epiphany came upon the rapist kidnapper said, listen, I am so sorry. I did you wrong. I'm so sorry. I apologize for what I did. He said, but you are jacked up. He said, you're free to go. And then he says, hey, listen, you're like, where in the world do I go? I don't trust anybody right now because I'm messed up. He said, well, look, you can stay in one of my rooms, in one of my houses, but all I want you to do is abide by my rules. That's like being in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Baltimore, Miami, but you're still under his roof.
Right.
And I say, dang, God, that's real. And we've just been conditioned because nobody, and this is a fact that Mugabe said, Africa has no friends. It just has brothers and sisters, and most of us are in the diaspora. We have the tools to fix whatever issue that the continent has because we've worked to keep America afloat under duress for 400 years.
That's true.
And the thing is that when do we take all this faith? Because one thing about Ghana particularly, it's a very religious country, very religious. Even if we don't subscribe to or agree with their religion, they are very, very religious. But with all this faith that we have, when do we have faith in ourselves to trust in our God-given abilities and talents that we can provide for ourselves as the Almighty gives us these skills to do so? When do we use them for ourselves and our people instead of working for some people that don't love us? When do we do that for ourselves? That's the question.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that there's a rift, and I'm going to open up the floor. So everybody that has questions, push one right now. There's a rift because we know what Genesis 15, 13 means. We know what that means. We have already come to the conclusion that that's us. We have debunked Egypt. We know it wasn't Egypt. There was no way. Because when they walked into Egypt, Joseph was the viceroy of Egypt. So we know they weren't there 400 years being afflicted. So there's no other people that it could be but us. And we know that this is the country that we're watching that's getting ready to be, that is in the process of judgment. We're watching this every day with our eyes on the television. We're watching this thing happen. So now what we're doing is, because he said, you shall see that nation be judged, and then afterwards you shall come out with great substance. So there are a group of us that's waiting on that prophecy to fulfill. Now, there may be some people that say, well, hey, I'm going to Ghana now. While y'all waiting on that, I'm going to Ghana. And then when the Most High do that, and when we come out with great substance, then I'll get my portion and we are good to go. So that's the issue right there. I think if some people want to go and some people are like, I'm waiting on the Most High to fulfill it because all of it has been fulfilled up to this point, you know, and that's where it is. I don't think it's that, you know, that's what they call the when you're in love with your captor, you know, because a lot of people are they're tired of this, but they're waiting on y'all. And like you said, y'all might be waiting on us. Hold on, let me open up the mic. Area code 832, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Zaire. Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you
ma'am.
Hear me? Okay,
yes.
This is Zaire. Everybody. or family. Listen, my concern at this point is I don't want to, or I wouldn't want any of us to get caught up in, like, the stuff that's going on that I'm seeing on the YouTube and hearing about with China, you know. I feel like we've already been through a lot already with, you know, colonizers as it is, you know, that's how we got in the place we're in now by them. And then for China, you know, kind of like a third world country, all of a sudden they're able to donate or contribute to 54 countries in Africa. You know, I don't know, and I'm not understanding why they still taking money, why they still, you know, like put their hand out, you know, and then there's some that the one that's giving got behind their back, you know. It's kind of like too much of the same all over again, it seems like to me. So that's one concern. And another concern is you said they're a religious people, but who are they serving? Because, you know, the Most High is not feeling that, you know, the pagan gods or the, you know, stones and all that, everything, but who we supposed to be serving. He's not feeling that. I don't want to be in an environment when, if it's not the Most High, you know, and Yahweh Shai that's being worshipped, I don't care to, you know. So I'm kind of thinking perhaps something may take place to get rid of the Chinamen, because the Chinamen don't serve the Most High for the most part. You know, they got their own little gods. So I'm not feeling that. Now, I don't know how much research or how much you know about what's going on with that, but that's a issue of concern that I have.
Okay, let me address that. First of all, do people know that most of the ports in the U.S. are owned by China? That the U.S. is in debt to China for trillions of dollars, hundreds of
Absolutely.
Trillions of dollars?
Absolutely.
Do people know that yeah. most of the goods and products from your Walmarts and Targets come from China?
China
I agree. Is America. It's all mm-hmm. America. Because
yeah.
China has this vendetta against European, particularly Americans, period. China is helping out Africa. And, of course, there's some stupid governments with stupid, corrupt politicians that exist worldwide. They just love to put the spotlight on Africa because they want us to be fearful of Africa, to keep us polarized. Because, again, this is something we cannot minimize. The white man knows the impact of us connecting back to the land. He knows this. So he will continue to perpetuate propaganda. What's going on in Zambia is one country is not happening all over the continent. Zambia is one of 54 countries, okay? It's not happening all over the continent. You got countries kicking out Asians, just like the president's here. If you are here doing corrupt, they're kicking out Chinese, okay? So that's not happening other places. The other part, we talked, the sister mentioned something about paganism. You live in the U.S., right? I think it's all kinds of perverted worship and stuff going on there, from Wiccan, devil worship, gays, lesbians, new things, whatever. What else is more pagan than that? Come on, let's be
Absolutely.
Real about this.
Yeah,
and everything
I'm
that we've been
real.
Taught about Africa as far as being wicked, whose narrative is it coming from? Because when we understand true Hebraic thought, if that's what we want to use, a lot of what we see in Africa but that has been demonized, and in fact, is the exact same thing. When I talk about spirituality, most of the people here happen to be, unfortunately, Christians. That's it. They don't even, a lot of people here are fearful of the traditional ways as closer to what we understand as the Hebraic ideal. Okay, that's just another story, because I really didn't want to get into religious aspect. I just wanted to talk about real life. But the fact is, when we start looking at issues that we want to pinpoint in Africa, look at what's going on in America. They're supposed to be a Christian nation. to love your neighbors as yourself, loving your enemies, but we go to war with everybody. America's been at war since World War II and has not won a war since World War II.
That's true.
It's at a war every decade. And that's supposed to be a Christian nation. Christian nation still hanging people, killing people, lynching people, injustices, and swearing on the Bible. Look at this heathen devil that just got put in the Supreme Court. And Bill Cosby going to die in jail. Come on, family.
That's true.
It's true.
Let's just open up our eyes and see things differently. Just be open at least. I'm not saying Africa's for everybody, but I'm saying before we come up with these generalizations, let's think about where you are first. There ain't no drive-bys here, because most of the police officers don't even have guns. I'm telling y'all. When I talk about Baltimore, where I'm from, 373 murders last year, people are flabbergasted at that. They are shocked. They said one town, that's not the whole country. I said, no, that's one city. It's unheard of. Hello?
Oh, we're listening. I'm here.
Okay.
Wanted, I mean,
so I'm just saying.
Amazing.
I mean, China owns the U.S. right now. Donald Trump talking all this crazy white boy bully mess about how these tariffs, but he doesn't realize the triple down effect that's going to have on everything, because most of the goods and services and products, from your general dollar to your Dollar Tree stuff, from your Walmart to Walgreens to Target, are from China. Look at the tags on the next products you buy. The rich rule over the poor. The debtor is a slave to the lender.
All right. Well, let me ask this question. Anyone else want to push one? Let me get does anybody else have any questions? If we want to cover it all, I did pull up your website. I saw the house and all the stuff that was there. That is very, very interesting. It seems like it's very nice. Area code, I'm coming, Brother Donnie. I ain't forgot you. I ain't going to leave you out. Area code 702, go ahead. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I called in Sunday, and I was talking about wanting more information. I just called in. I'm still at work. So I just wanted to ask some questions briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I've already gone online and looked at flights, and it was saying that a visa and passport are required.
Right.
Is that still true?
Yes.
We need both the passport
however,
and the visa.
However.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this real quick. However, the AU is trying to make it where we don't have to have visas, but in the meantime, there's a visa. And what I will do to you, I will pass it on to matter of fact, everybody take down this number. There's a brother, there's a Ghanaian brother who we use as a travel agent in Washington, D.C. They hand deliver your passports to go get your visas. The company is called Smart Travel. Okay? Smart Travel. His name is Henry Van Eck, E-C-K. Henry Van Eck. I'm going to give you three phone numbers. 301-270-2045. That's 301-270-2045. The next one is just 2046, everything the same. He even answers his mobile number. This area code 646-515-5290. That's area code 646-515-5290. When you call him, they will tell you the best time to fly and the best day of the week, because you can pick a Tuesday or a Thursday. It could be a difference of $500 in the ticket.
I noticed that. I saw tickets from as cheap as 700 something to upwards to 3,000 something. So
exactly.
And I already have my passport. And so I was going to go ahead and fill it out. I can go ahead and call him. One of the questions I had on there, it asked, what is this visa for? Or what are you coming there for? Are you a tourist or is it business?
You can say always say tourist. Say tourist. And you tell them you want a multi-entry visa. Tourist. You're a tourist.
Tourist. Okay, tourist and multi.
Multi-entry visa.
Multi-entry visa. Okay.
And something else that was in line with that I wanted to tell you. Because when you want to come, you want to come with that multi-entry because it allows you not to have to get a visa for the next 3 to 5 years, okay?
Okay.
So that's the good part. But, South African Airways, they come right out of D.C., but it's a straight flight, 10 hours. Now, some people want to do layovers. I don't like no layovers. I like to hit it and quit. But, depending on you, whatever your budget is, it's just worth it, You get here, if something happens to you when you touch this ground, it just does.
Do they have timeshares there? I'll have to contact mine to see if it's allowed over there or if they have anything over there. But
that's a great question because they do have hotels like Marriott, Holiday Inn, and stuff like that, and comparables. But the Airbnbs are so cheap. Some of them maybe $30 a night.
Okay.
There's a lot of Airbnbs here and guest houses. A lot.
And then
and
I have
like I said,
also,
you can go.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to switch it, so I want to hear what you were going to say before I go to the next question.
No, I'm just saying whatever you want. And, go on TripAdvisor, which is always a good one to look at. And we also know some black folk that have some hotels that are nice. And the prices are simply unbelievable. Unbelievable for what you can get. Go ahead.
Okay, so there were a couple of people that called in on Saturday. One was a special ed teacher, and the other one I think did behavioral something. I don't know if it was behavioral science or I don't know if they're on the call today or not. Anyway, because I'm the one that told you I teach band I do it for third to eighth grade. But my degree is mathematics, so I use music to teach math. And I also work with a lot of special ed, IEP, 504. So any of them, I'd love to work with them as well. And if they were serious and wanted to get together, if they were serious about going, maybe we could go at the same time. I really want to go over and check it out.
Now, what I would recommend, if you do come, consider this. There's a huge need for special education and all kinds of those tools because there are not a lot of systems in place to even diagnose kids that are special ed, 504, IEP. I'm familiar with that because I used to be a behavior interventionist and worked with the IEP chair, and I was the 504 chair, so I totally understand and get it. What I would suggest, especially if you use band,
and I'm talking about flute, clarinet, saxophone, all the instruments.
You know what we were talking about here? You know how it is at black school bands and the HBCU bands? They don't have anything like that here, even though they do have have their variation of bands. Oh, my God. If you had something like that here, it would catch on like wildflower. Because let me tell you something. Quiet is kept. Everybody here wants to be like us.
I know.
You got brothers here, and I hate to say this one. You got brothers here trying to sag their pants. And then I tell them, y'all, do y'all know what that means and where that comes from? They are shocked. I'm telling you, they want to be like us. Everybody wants to be like us except us. Even the bad parts of us. But if you brought band here and incorporate that with learning, you would spread like wildfire, especially even if you had your own institute. This is why I'm saying to educators that are coming over here, band together and connect with folk that are here on the ground, and let's build a mega empowerment school and spread them all over the country.
And I do
That's
have
huge.
My own. I could just possibly move it there. It's called Inner City Beat. It's a community band. I went to all the schools in the inner city here in Las Vegas and brought them together to form the band.
That would be huge. Huge. Education, I'm telling you. I said this on Sunday. The African Union is emphasizing that all the countries have an African-based curriculum starting now, and the goal is to be completed by 2063. I'll be 100 by then. But at least they wanted to start spreading now, and the country is looking for that, but they don't have the resources to do it because we're not there. We're the ones that would be bringing it. We're the
so
ones that would be bringing it.
So is this the same AU of the lady that was talking about all of us paying money?
The AU? Which lady was talking about paying money?
Was it the African Union ambassador or something?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And she was asking everybody to contribute money, and then she was going to bring the best of the best over there, and because I saw a lot of different comments about that, and folks were like,
several
"Look, we've
videos
paid
of
enough."
Her. Well, there's several videos of her encouraging us to come home because what it is what the balance of that message is that we're putting out a lot of money but not getting no return. But why not put that the money that we put out to fight for everyday life, we could put it here to get a return where we all benefited from it personally and collectively. That's what the gist of that really is about. And why not invest in Africa where we will get something from, even if, our children's children inherit it. But nevertheless, it'll be rewarding. That's what the gist of it is. Matter of fact, we're going to be our partners here are going to be communicating with her to have her come speak with us to set up our sixth region chapter so we could work together with all of us to leverage, because that's one thing we don't know how to do collectively is leverage our power. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. Us that are here connecting with you guys that are coming is leveraging our power to get our needs met, because white folk do it all the time.
Well, that's all the questions I have. It's time for me to go pick up my kids and start after school band. So put me back on mute because I don't want you all hearing the noise. Okay. Hold on a minute.
All right.
Area code 504, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air. Area code 504. I'm sorry, 540. I apologize.
No
problem. 540.
My question to the young man is that as far as the military there, are they adequate enough to protect us as well as the demonstration?
The military here, yes, they have a very strong military. The U.S. military is not here, but yes, China has been at peace for many decades.
Okay, so there's no chance of a coup going on or anything like that?
Oh, no. Not even close. Ghana is known as the most peaceful nation in all of Africa. As far as it's very stable government, as far as any of that is concerned.
Okay, do you know like if they cross-train with other African militaries or the world?
Come again, because they broke up.
Do they cross-train with other African militaries or militaries of the world?
That I'm not aware of. I don't have the information to be able to give that answer. I would be making up something. But from what I do understand is that everything is done here under their leadership. I mean, they may get expertise from different nations to share different things, but it's the military is just highly respected. The military is respected way more than the police department.
Okay, so if one of our people wanted to join the military, could they do it?
That's an honest, great question. You say one of us. I think you would still have to be a citizen first, but I'm sure. But that's a great question to find out. I will find out for you.
The reason why I say that is because it kind of gives up the way that I think it is. With us being there, if a lot of us go, it will become a great attraction to other nations that like what they have. And also, I don't know if Ghana has a lot of natural resources like gold, silver, diamonds, that vibranium metal. Just even right there. But I'm just saying that, you know,
Ghana is rich in resources.
Okay, and is there any way that we also could get even farther as far as having some of those resources?
Hello, it's very bad connection. I didn't hear the last question.
Is there any way that we could possibly get some of Ghana's natural resources for ourselves?
Well, we have to bring industry here to be able to work it. That's the thing. Everybody else is coming here. And like I told somebody, we had an honest conversation in a public forum. It was on the radio here. I said, one of the reasons why the Chinese are coming here, because there's a huge faction of Ghanaians that want to run to America and to the UK. And I said, and I asked them the question. I said, think about it. What is it that the Chinese, the Indians, the Lebanese see in Ghana that we don't see? You know, they're taking advantage just like in our areas, and we know there's different dynamics as to why, but why are our stores and our local communities run by foreigners? Because they're taking advantage of stuff that we're not, or we don't have access to, but we have access here. But if we knew how to operate from a collective, we could bring industry here, because we're working every day to fund another nation's other people, because most of the companies that most of us work for ain't owned by our people. So we're working to finance their children's children. So imagine if we use those skills that we use for them to work together, we could build industries that could be into gold mining, could be into diamond mining, because they're here. Cocoa mining, shea butter mining. Because let me tell you something else. One of the greatest treasures here is the fact that food grows all year round here. A man that has a house full of gold that's starving don't give a damn about the gold, especially if he can get some fruit to eat. That's the real treasure.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So if we knew how to harvest this stuff, because let me tell you something that's a travesty here. They import more fruit juices here because you know why? They don't have a lot of refrigeration systems in place because a lot of tomatoes, mango, all that stuff goes to waste because it's so ripe. They don't have refrigeration systems in industry to manufacture these things before they get spoiled and turn them into juices and fruit and vegetable byproducts.
Well, is that because
that's
of the
treasure
fact
right there?
But is that because of the fact that the government of the African nations, and especially Ghana, because they're told and paid money not to be doing that, so that way that England and everybody else that's on our side can ship it back to them?
No, it's because they don't have necessarily the wherewithal and the technology to do it. That's what we have. And I'm just telling you, I'm just being totally straight up with you. You say these things, and they're like, it's almost like a cow in a new barn, like you're bringing some information. Like, wow, a lot of the new ones that have traveled abroad, that went to school abroad, especially the young ones, they see that. But here in Ghana, it's something that's different. It's like if they're so used to doing stuff out of habit because it's the way it's always done, that they don't have something that we have. We had to do stuff out of necessity to survive, so we had to come up with inventions like Eli Whitney, the cotton gin. That was out of necessity because he said, wait a minute, there's got to be a quicker, faster way to deal with this cotton. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things that we invented were out of necessity because of what we were forced under. So we inherited that. They did not necessarily inherit it. Know why? Because, okay, these bananas go spoiled, but right now this tree over here got some fresh ones. I don't care about the spoiled ones. But at the same time, that's millions of dollars being wasted. Where we had to,
eat it because we might not have had nothing to eat tomorrow. So we had to freeze it, can it, dry it up or whatever. We had to. So if we brought those things that we did for survival sake here to create industry, we're millionaires and we're putting thousands of people to work.
So what's keeping the industry from coming there?
Fear. Fear. Lack of exposure. I give a perfect example, the brother that owns Ebony. That was his first time in Africa. And he's a multi-millionaire. You know you got to be multi-millionaire if you use it. You write your own checkbook to go buy that magazine. But lack of exposure. When he came here, his mind was blown that he was emotional when he saw the opportunities that were here. You know, most of us, like I said, we would get on a plane to go to the Riviera, the French Riviera, to Paris, to Italy, to London, to Ireland, to Australia before we would come to Africa. And most people never even think of Africa. And you got a Lebanese guy, he's a marketing director of a company called Palace, which is owned by Pizza Hut. He was Lebanese, grew up in Dubai. He said Ghana should be greater than Dubai because Dubai doesn't have any natural resources. And he sees Ghana as great, will be greater than Dubai. That's why Lebanese are coming here because they see the potential. We just got to get a vision to see it for what it is.
So what happens after 2019? Because we are August the 20th of 2019. I'm coming, Brother Donnie. I forgot you. August the 20th of 2019 is the day that we fulfill the 400-year promise. I mean, the 400-year prophecy. We're having a day of repentance on September the 7th and the 8th in Washington, D.C., on the grounds of the Capitol building. If you would email me, I need your information because we are wanting to invite some of the people that you talked about tonight to be there. Because this is going to be a monumental event. I know for me, I'm not leaving until after that's over with, even to come visit, because I feel like I want to fulfill that 400 years here in this nation and fulfill that prophecy. If you could email us at the Yehuda Project or your email information on your website.
Okay, yes.
It is? Okay, good.
Now,
be in touch with you because we definitely would like to be able to network with you so that we can maybe get information as to how we're going to do this because this is supposed to be worldwide. So we're not moving, you know what I'm saying? We're putting this thing together, and it's taking a lot of effort and time. What happens after 2019 if some people that are on this line decide they want to go in 2020? Is the door still open?
Oh, it's wide open. Matter of fact, 2019 slams the door open. Matt tears the door down.
Okay.
Because there'd be no real more reason to have an excuse not to. Matter of fact, 2020 is the momentum picking up on rebuilding, restoring Africa while everything else, every other kingdom is coming down. Mind you, keep in mind though, late July, August is Emancipation Day, which is dedicated towards us, as well as Panifest, that is run by our people. Okay, that's going on around the same time, so just keep that in mind.
Well, ours is in September. This is
August the 20th is
the official day that we supposedly came here. The 20 souls walked on this soil. So that is the official day that the prophecy is fulfilled. So we're having our event in September, but you know, I just want to let that. So let me let Brother Donia in here. Brother Donia, your mic is open. We'll hit you on the air. Is he still there? Brother Donia, are you there? Hello? Maybe he has. I'm going to put him back on mute until we can't hear you. Maybe I'll heal this after. We'll bring you back in. He may have a phone on speaker. Anybody else want to push one, have any questions, anything to say, any other questions to ask? I think we've had some very good questions posed and very good information that's been put out there for us. Let me ask area code 757, your mic is open. Do you have anything you'd like to add? You push one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have some thoughts about it, and I mean, I'm trying to remain optimistic because, you know, just hearing it, yes, I'm excited, but I got to be reminded in the back of my mind, as a child of Yah, for me, the focus is on, okay, well, yes, Ghana is the gateway, but are we moving toward Northeast Africa? That is what I'm mainly concerned about. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic or throw a wet towel on it. I'm just trying to say we have built every nation that we've been a part of. And by just the fact of us coming, the diaspora coming back to the continent of Africa, yes, it is going to be built up. But aren't we just passing through to get to where we really are supposed to be at in terms of prophecy? And it's something that you mentioned, and I kind of wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. You mentioned that the Ghanaians have been looking at us for a while. I'm talking about us here in the diaspora. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, if the Ghanaians are looking at us and they've looked at all that we have been through here in this country, the United States, the heartbreak, the tears, the killing, this, that, and the other, how can you not say anything? How can you – now is the time that you want to – and don't get me wrong, I think that they are genuine. But, I mean, and looking at this, why now? Why? I mean, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying, what is the – is there another – other than building up Ghana and maybe the countries around, because I don't think all of us are going to be, you know, that go back – are going to go to Ghana. There are other countries that we're going to be spread into. But is there some type of other ulterior motive going on? Yes, Africa is, I mean, in my mind, yes, it would be a great superpower if you get in the diaspora coming back, because we bring a whole new skill set and resources to what's already there, untapped in Africa. So I'm trying to be fair about this, and I'm trying to consider all angles. And just keeping in mind that in my mind, for me, and I can't speak for anybody else, my goal is Northeast Africa. That's what I'm concerned about. And that's basically that's all I wanted to say right now.
Well, first about the Northeast Africa part is that the people, the indigenous people of Northeast Africa are not there.
I know.
The same people
here
that run America are there. Yep. Israel, what you call Israel today, the promised land really didn't become that until the people got there. The people are here and scattered. The people are gathering here. They left there hundreds of years ago. Right now, that place is inhabited by foreign invaders. And they're kicking Africans out of Israel. Kicking Africans out of Israel. Matter of fact, before he died, you know, I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever, Ben Ami, he stated that they were moving to Ghana, out of Israel. They're stopped now for whatever reason, but that's just a fact. It's on record. Just look at Good Evening Ghana on YouTube. With Ben Ami before he died. Look it up. But on the other part is, first of all, understand it's not all Ghanaians that were watching us. It's not all. And many of them have tried. Matter of fact, it's just news that came out that one of the first ship lines of trying to come back and get us was a Ghanaian, a Pan-Africanist. Because we forget about the impact of colonialism here. There are people that are recently that have been waking up because they've had exposure to knowledge. But colonialism has dulled the mind and sensitivity of them that have been here as well.
to the point they did not know about us. Some of them still haven't even been to the slave dungeons, but there's a small faction that have been watching and wanting, and our Pan-Africanists are fighting to help get us to come back. But it's, you know, it's so many different layers of this thing. But the thing is that we got to know this, because it's more than, see, it's important to understand geography and the other history and other historical facts and getting other historical tools and putting all the pieces together. Because if we just use one tool, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. And I'm saying this because when we look at it in totality, we see where the people are. Some of the true people, just like as a brother, his name is, I'll get his name. He's from the God tribe. He's a Hebrew here. He's from Ghana, never lived abroad, and he knows his people. Hold on, let me get you his name. Rabbi Basil. Look up on YouTube, Rabbi Basil, B-A-S-I-L. Look him up. He answers a lot of those questions that the sister just said right there. And he'll tell you historically where they're from. The people are here. The tribes are here and in the Americas and other parts of the world. If I go to Northeast Africa right now, I'm living out the pot right into the coals.
All right, hold on one moment. Area code 757, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Shalom to the family.
Shalom.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on, what they were both saying. I think we have to understand, like, when the sister, she said, she has, like, a certain type of eye or a certain type of hesitation. We have to, like, look at scripture, where Yah talked about how he stirred up the heart of Pharaoh, how he stirred up the heart of this king, that king, to do this, that, and third, when it was time to make certain moves. This captivity was for a certain time. It's time to return back to the wilderness and restore that people. Then let the prophecy fulfill where that the true land or the true people that the people inhabited are cleared away, so that the true inhabitants can go back to their land and be a priestly people to all the nations. Really, if you do the research, even though the Afro-Brazilian experience is different than the Black American experience, a lot of people went back.
You're breaking up real bad. We can barely hear you.
You can barely hear me?
Yeah, now we can. We hear you now.
Well, I was saying that, like, you brought up Ben Ami, how they went to Liberia, to purge themselves of the filth that we picked up here. And then, the Afro-Brazilian experience, with a lot of Afro-Brazilians returning to Nigeria, different countries on the western coast of Africa. That's the same thing that's going to happen after this time is up. That 400-year prophecy is up, and we return. Like, as long as we keep the laws and trust in Yah, it's nothing's going to happen. It's nothing going to happen to us negative. Everything is going to happen in its proper place, and we're going to be led to the right places to be held over to, we return to the land. So we just don't need to even have no doubt of what's going to happen, because if Yah say you're going to be here 400 years, I'm going to put you through these curses and through this vexation and through this death. And then I'm going to bring you out of these nations, and I'm going to send my fishers to bring you out, and I'm going to bring my remnant out, and I'm going to return. That's what he's going to do. So we just got to believe in the Father and believe that he is going to happen, because all of this is in the making, from Ben Ami going over there and the Ghanaian government being familiar with the dietary laws that Ben Ami and his group put over there, to, many things being put in place. So that you know, I believe wholeheartedly that that's what's going to happen, that we're going to return to these West African countries first before the remnant is put back in the land. So thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Brother Donia, are you still there? Let me see if I can get him on there. If you are, please push one. I see your phone number, but I don't know whether you have it on mute or whatever. But we wanted to give you a chance to say something as well. Anyone else who wants to push one, please feel free to do that. Oh, there you go. All right, here we go. Area code, Brother Donia, your mic is open.
Shalom. This is Donia. I just want to give my view. You understand? My view is this is the hand of the Almighty. This is the latter days. You understand? The Almighty is not going to fail us. You understand? Here it is, Ghana, an African nation. Well, I want to go a little further by saying that we went into Ghana. Before Ghana was Ghana, we was there. We migrated from other places down into Ghana, and they came and got us out of Ghana.
Yep.
That was the slave coast. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the president of Ghana is inviting us to come back. Now, I don't say that we go over there wholeheartedly and just drop everything and run over there. We need to investigate, make sure that we're making the right move by the hand of the Almighty. You understand? That's all we got is God, the Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No other. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. You understand? It says that some of us will come over there by planes, and some of us gonna come by ships. You understand? So some of us can go over there, man, and set up. You understand? And get the lowdown of the premises. And find out what we can do and what we can't do. Some of us go over there and take a little sabbatical and see what's going on, man, see where we fit in, see if it's feasible for us. We take chances with them Europeans all the time. You understand? We went to the brother mentioned Ben Amin. You understand? We had to beg them people, you understand, to accept us, and they gave us a place on a silo, you understand, where nuclear waste.
Yeah.
You understand? Where half of those folks is dying from cancer. You understand?
Exactly.
We can go over there and take a hard look at what's going on. You understand? And from what I understand, that those European countries is not in Ghana like that. You understand what I'm saying? Of course, they in there. They try. They doing everything that they can possibly do to stay alive. That's what they're trying to do. We just got to trust in the Almighty with all our heart and soul. You understand? This wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for the latter days. This would not be happening. You understand? What's happening is the Almighty is opening up a door for us. You understand? For us to go and take a look at it, and see what it is for us. You understand? And for me, you understand, I think that this was a godsend. You understand? Here we got a brother there that's giving us the lowdown. You understand what I'm saying? He's open. He's allowing us to understand what's going on. You understand? And what we need to do. And this is a black folk. You understand? Most of them black folks over there are Hebrew Israelites. You understand that we cohabitated
with.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
We cohabitated with those folks. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said, man, the Almighty is our God. He ain't gonna fail us now. This is the latter days. You understand? He's gonna bring us up out of this mess. You understand? We don't know how he's gonna do this here. He's gonna do it at a grander scale because at the time of Egypt, we was all in one location. Now he got to bring us back from the four corners of the earth. You understand? So it's gonna be a grander scale. Here's what he said. He said, when he brings us back, all the nations will know that he is God. You understand? He is the true and living Elohim. You understand? Our God at that. You understand? So I have no fear. Now, I don't have no money. You understand? But if by the will of the Almighty, you understand, he'll make a way for me. If I really want to go, he will definitely make a way for me. You understand? And when he said that the money is four and a half times one, man, that's ideal. That's a blessing right there. Understand? You know, for me anyway. You know, so I just wanted to say that. You know, and I relinquish the mic.
All right, now my question is, this is what we're going to plan on doing. I don't know whether you know this or not, Brother Yehoshua, but we have an annual State of the Nation address every year. And this year we're going to be in Washington, D.C. So what we're going to do next year for 2020 is we're planning a tour to come to Ghana. So if you can help us to plan that for all the people who want to go just to visit to see, if we can start planning that as soon as possible, and putting all the components together, then, you know, for us to want to come visit, some people may want to come stay, whatever they want to do, you know, because I would like to, I've never been in Africa, ever. So I would like to definitely come to see what it's like to be over there. Maybe we can put together some sort of a trip where we can come and stay for about a week or two and just, you know what I'm saying, see what it's like to be there.
I would suggest a minimum of 10 days. Because you're going to have jet lag the first day, and we will connect you with the best tour representative here that we deal with personally. Do a 10-day cultural tour and get a chance also to experience the different areas where different lifestyles, you know, just to experience it, to taste it, to take it in, to see the good, bad, and ugly.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
I would definitely say that. Let's work on it.
Okay. All right. It sounds like a plan to me. All right, everybody. Well, is there any other questions before we end the show? I think it went very well. We had a lot of, you know, participation. We gave out a lot of information, a wealth of information, phone numbers, contact names, and all of that. And I've been on the website since he's been talking. And it's got a lot of information on the website. It's pictures of houses on the website. And if you could get that website again for the people that are new, that just came on, I'd appreciate that.
It's returningtoeden.com, and it's the number two. returningtoeden.com. And also for the events coming up, the Adinkra Group, ADINKRAGroup.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the tour company, Awuni Tours, AWUNI Tours with an S.com. He's also on Facebook, Awuni Tours.
No. All right. Well, it was very good to hear from you. I hope we to see each other. Please tell your wife I said shalom, shalom, and all that good
Absolutely.
Stuff. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. We're here every Sunday and every Tuesday. You know, we'd love to hear
okay,
from
cool.
you. Just come, just show up. You're more than welcome to come at any time. For you all who
all
are
right.
here, don't forget our class on Thursday night. We're going to definitely be able to go over this information, and you guys can kind of, you know, have whatever questions you may have. And he's always available to us, and the website is there. On that note, we say thank you so much for being up this late and staying with us. We know it's late in Ghana. We appreciate all of your help, and we look forward to seeing you in 2020.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, this is the conclusion of our show. Shalom, shalom, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of your evening. Good night, everybody.
Shalom.